Anya saw the katana in the man's hands and bent her knees as he advanced.
What is the point of all this?
He smiled as he came even closer. 20 feet separated them. Another step, and they'd be within killing distance.
You don't know what this is about?
No. Tell me.
You already know. You're just afraid to say it.
Fairclough built this maze for me, didn't he?
Did he?
He wants revenge.
Is he the only one you've ever crossed? Is he the only one whose family you've destroyed?
Why?
Anya parried his attack. He cut a shallow gash across her midsection, then drove the pommel into her diaphragm. Anya went down hard, clutching the sword against her. She kicked out at him. He sidestepped her and used the tip of his katana to poke her thigh. Again, the injury was minor, and the look on the man's face was full of contempt and superiority.
Get up, Anya!
How do you know my name?
We all know your name.
We?
Anya backpedaled so that the tip of the sword blade only cut the air a mere inch from her face. In agony, Anya grabbed her shoulder. The blunt end of a throwing spike protruded from it. Her sword arm began to go numb.
You are weak.
Anya sank to her knees, shattered. And just like that, the corridor was empty. The Asian man had vanished. Again! Anya glanced around, but even the shadows seemed to have retreated back into the walls. She looked down at her shoulder. Something had to be done about that spike. She grabbed the end of it with both hands. Slowly, Anya rose to her feet and walked back to the control room. She slumped into one of the chairs. Kessel entered the room a moment later.
Anya! What the hell happened?
The Asian man I saw in the maze. I walked right into a trap.
I tried to stop you.
I know. It was stupid. And he took advantage of it.
Who is he?
I don't know.
Kessel ripped another piece off his t-shirt, wadded it up, and pressed it into the wound in her shoulder.
I may not have a shirt left by the time this is over.
I'm sorry.
No matter. Let me see your stomach.
Anya lifted her shirt, and Kessel glanced at it.
You're lucky. The cut's only superficial.
Luck had nothing to do with it. He could have killed me anytime he wanted to. He played with me. All of this was just to warm me up for the final encounter. And it'll happen when he wants it to.
Or maybe the person running the show doesn't want it to happen yet.
Fairclough. Kessel, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
No choice. We either fight or we die.
You can't fight. If you take another shot to the head like the one that bounced you off the wall, you'll be done for.
That's true, but look at you. You're just about used up. On our own, I don't think either one of us is enough.
But together?
We just might have a shot. But only if we go at them hard and fast.
That may be the only thing they don't expect. I mean, how could two people in our condition attack anybody?
Exactly.
They moved through the control room, taking in the banks of video monitors and the cables running all over.
So this is where they kept tabs on us.
We really were like lab rats, weren't we? I don't like being experimented on without my consent.
I guess we can assume at this point that they know you're not mute.
And that I'm an undercover agent.
I'm afraid so.
Good. I never liked playing the role of Green's henchman anyway. This'll give him and me some really good quality time to catch up with each other. Little family reunion of sorts.
We need to keep moving. Better be ready for anything.
They walked out of the control room and continued to climb through more tunnels.
You feeling okay?
As okay as you'd expect. Just a little tough doing this climb right now with my head the way it is.
Just think of each step bringing you closer to finding a real doctor with a pocket full of pain meds.
Oh, I am. Trust me on that one. It's just, I didn't expect a little hike to take so much out of me. I'm used to hauling ass around mountains without breaking a sweat. And here we are, walking a gentle little incline, and I'm heaving.
You want to take a 5-minute break?
5 minutes might be good.
They hunkered down on opposite sides of the tunnel. Anya glanced around.
How far away from the surface do you think we are?
Not sure. When we fell through the first room, we could have dropped several stories and not realized it. I don't know about you, but my attention was on the biting fish when I fell into the water.
Mine too. But we seem to have climbed back out of the abyss, at least somewhat.
Whatever you did to this guy Fairclough, it must have been pretty harsh to make him come up with something like this to torture you.
I honestly can't remember. When I laid eyes on Fairclough, I had no memory of seeing him before. I can't recall ever talking with him. And I certainly can't think of a thing I could have done to warrant this.
Well, unfortunately, it's not so much what you remember, even if it's accurate, that counts. It's what Fairclough thinks you did to him.
And that's what sucks. I wish I knew if it was warranted or not.
I'm guessing not.
I'm not so sure. There have been times in the past when I've had to dispense some harsh justice.
Hey, don't forget who you're talking to here. I've been in more bloody battles than most people I know who are serving these days. In those situations, how are you supposed to react? With careful consideration, there's no time. You do what you're trained to do and you get home safely. That's all any of us can do.
Thanks. I appreciate you saying that.
I'm not trying to be a self-help guru or anything, just trying to make you see your situation objectively. The world is full of evil, and there are very few who answer the call to check its advance.
You did?
Yeah, I made that choice. But you? I don't know if you ever had a choice.
What do you mean?
The sword. How'd you come by it?
I think the sword chose me for some reason.
Exactly. The sword chose you, and you're stuck with it.
Kessel leaned toward her across the tunnel.
Give it to me.
Excuse me?
The sword. I want you to give me the sword as a gift. Tell the sword I'm its new owner.
I don't know if I can do that.
Relax, Anya. I don't really want it. I just want to see what happens when you try to relieve yourself of that thing.
What if it backfires?
What's it gonna do? Jump around by itself, cutting us to shreds? I doubt very much that's gonna happen. Seriously, I just try it and see.
Anya closed her eyes and visualized herself giving Kessel the sword. When she opened her eyes, the sword was still in her lap. Kessel was still leaning forward.
Now give it to me.
Anya gripped the sword and then turned the hilt toward Kessel so he could grab it. As soon as Kessel touched the hilt, the sword vanished. Anya was relieved to see it hovering back where it always was in the otherwhere.
I think we just proved your theory.
Sure as hell seems like it. So, hopefully you know that you aren't entirely responsible for everything you do.
Lucky me.
Would you give it away if you could?
Oh, hell, I don't know. I mean, there are times when I can't stand lugging this thing around anymore. It gets me into all sorts of trouble, and then I have to fight my way back home. But there are also times when I'm damned grateful to have it. And on those days, I can't think what my life would be like without it.
That sounds like just about every other relationship I've ever heard about. And here you thought you weren't ever going to get married.
Oh, you should do comedy.
Maybe. Just don't book me any appearances until I get my head back into shape.
Worried about your brain?
My brain? Hell no. I'm worried about looking like I just walked out of a lobotomy. I can't go on stage with half my head shaved and a hole in my skull. I've got my vanity after all.
I'll make sure you look good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well then, I guess I just found another reason to want to get home.
The corridor keeps heading up. You think we'll find the entrance soon?
No idea. But we've only got one choice, so I suggest we take it and don't stop until we start sucking in fresh, clean air.
I like the way that sounds.
Their excitement grew as they crested the slope and saw that it leveled out into a room with a hardwood floor. Anya helped Kessel the last few steps, and they looked back at how far they'd had to climb.
I can't even figure out where we started. It's too dark to see the bottom from here.
Gotta be almost a quarter mile. At least.
Kessel turned and looked at the room they stood in. A single door faced them across the expanse of floor.
The exit. At last.
He strode across the floor and grabbed the doorknob.
Stop!
Kessel froze.
Sorry. Just a habit after so much crap in the maze.
We're not in the maze anymore, Anya. Now let's get out of here.
Kessel pulled the door open. Anya stepped onto the wood floor.
Kessel!
It collapsed beneath her. Anya plummeted into darkness. Kessel knelt by the gaping hole on his hands and knees. Seeing Anya plunge through the floor moments before it scared the crap out of him.
Oh, God, why did I open the goddamn door?
Kessel shook his head. Anya was gone. and with the condition his head was in, he couldn't take the chance of jumping after her. If he even caught a glancing blow to his head now, he'd die. He stood by the edge of the collapsed floor and stared into the pit for several minutes, but it was no use. Anya was gone, back down the rabbit hole, and Kessel had an open door behind him, and only one way to go. Through it. He glanced back at the hole.
I won't leave without you, Anya.
Kessel walked through the door and found himself facing a flight of steps. Looking up from the bottom, the steps numbered about 20 and ended at a single metal door.
The last time I opened the door, the floor caved in. What'll happen when I reach that one? Will the steps fall apart?
Kessel started checking the stair treads for any obvious signs that they'd been tampered with. He also looked for thin filament wires that might indicate the presence of explosives or something else that could ruin his day. It took time, peering up at each step in succession, so he could make sure it was safe to proceed. Anya could feel her momentum slowing. Ahead of her, she could see light, and as she zipped onto a straight stretch of tunnel, she made a decision. Maybe they were waiting to kill her as soon as she came out of the tunnel. She was determined not to crack. She'd played nice all along. It was time to get mean. Anya leaped off the end of the tunnel and came to her feet, ready to slay an army of demons if need be. But she was in an empty room. Lights overhead illuminated a single door. And since the only other exit was the tunnel, Anya started to move to the door. But then she stopped.
No, this time I make sure there's truly no other way out of this place before I take the obvious.
So she spent the next 30 minutes prodding the walls, trying to determine if there were any secret passages or other exits. She found nothing and walked to the door. Anya positioned herself on one side of the door jamb and slowly turned the knob. With her sword in her hands, Anya turned and went through the door. It was another corridor, dark and deserted.
Oh. Are those voices? Are there people up ahead? And if there are, what are they doing? Even when I think I'm safe, it turns out to be just another trap. I'm not falling for it again.
So Anya crept closer to the noise. Closer to what she hoped were some actual honest-to-goodness answers, instead of more questions. Kessel was close to the top of the staircase. He heard movement on the other side of the door. Of course, he had no weapons at his disposal, nothing but his body, which was a pretty formidable weapon under normal circumstances, but given the hole in his skull, hand-to-hand combat wasn't the best idea. Still, if it came down to it, Kessel would fight to the death. He continued checking the stairs, moving ever closer to the top. Last step. Kessel checked the tread, and, as with the others before it, found nothing. He stood on the landing in front of the door and started checking for booby traps, running his hands over every inch of the frame. The door was clear. Kessel finished checking. He'd gone over the door and the frame, peered through the keyhole, and even felt around the underside of the jamb and the knob itself, trying to figure out if there was anything conceivably wrong with it. When he was done, he was forced to conclude that the door was perfectly normal, which didn't make him feel good at all.
Nothing's been normal about this place from the moment Anya and I got put in here. Well, I'm not staying in this dump any longer. I'm getting out.
Hello, Kessel.
It was Green. He aimed a silenced pistol directly at Kessel's chest.
Green, you're looking well.
I'm glad to see you're not going to insult me by pretending to be a mute.
What's the point? I know you guys had the maze wired for sight and sound. I'd only be fooling myself if I still played the part.
And now you and Anya have been separated again. How tragic for the both of you.
Do you know where she is?
Know where she is? Of course we do. We've been watching every move you've made from the moment you entered the maze. There's nothing going on here right now that hasn't been planned for months. Years, even.
You mind giving me a clue as to why?
Come with me, and we'll see if Fairclough feels like divulging anything, or if he simply wants me to kill you right now.
Oh, well, good. At least that way I'll know what to wear to my funeral.
Anya saw the outline of a doorway more clearly now. The light coming from the room was bright, and she smelled food. Her mouth watered and her stomach grumbled. She hadn't eaten since breakfast that morning back in Brooklyn.
Or was it yesterday?
Anya no longer knew how long she'd been in the maze. A quick glance at the watch told her the thing had stopped working hours ago.
Stupid watch.
She took another step closer to the room. Another step closer to food. Green kept Kessel in front of him as they headed down a hallway lined with fluorescent bulbs overhead that flickered when they walked under them.
What happened to your head, Kessel?
I got thrown to a wall by that thing you guys put down in the maze. What was it? Bigfoot or something?
What's the matter? Did it get the better of you?
Temporarily.
What do you mean?
I mean it's dead.
Keep walking. We've got an appointment that I don't want to keep waiting. I think he's quite interested in talking to you about your work.
My work?
Yes. You being a special agent with the FBI and all. He's quite keen on hearing about your exploits.
My exploits? Well, he ought to ask you about them then. After all, I've been assigned to penetrate your organization and bring you down.
So much for that, huh?
Day's not over yet, pal. Who knows? Haley's comet could come crashing through this place and wipe us all out.
But that would mean you'd be dead, too.
As long as you're dead, I don't care about my own life.
I do so love how superior you try to make yourself appear, even in the face of defeat. That's something from your military career, isn't it?
Maybe.
Well, we'll see how high and mighty you are when Fairclough asks me to serve you a dish of hot lead. Now keep moving.
Anya braced herself just outside the door jamb and prepared to enter. Sounds continued on the other side of the doorway, but she still couldn't hear what they were talking about. The smell of freshly cooked food was almost too much to bear. She gripped the sword and closed her eyes.
Please don't let this be a trick. Please let it be real. I just need something to eat.
Anya swiveled away from the doorframe and entered the room. It was deserted.
Where is everyone? Where are those voices coming from?
She crossed the floor and saw that the sounds were coming out of stereo speakers set up behind a table.
No!
She wheeled around, searching for the food. But the table was bare, and there was no other place the food could have been. And then she saw the vent. It measured only about 2 feet by 1 foot, but it was through this that the smell of food had been piped into the room. Everything had been done to give the appearance that there were people eating in here.
So what's the goddamned point of this? Damn you, Fairclough! I don't know what I did that would make you want to do this to me, but I promise when I get out of here and find you, I'm gonna do something far worse.
And then it occurred to her. There was no exit from this room. There were no other doors. She'd come down the tunnel and landed in the one place that then led her to this room.
Okay, I'm in a room with no exit. A room with no apparent exit.
The room was 12 feet by 12 feet. The floor was paved in simple stone tile, but she saw no pattern or other indicator that stepping on one would produce poisoned darts as they had earlier on in the maze.
No, Fairclough's done with that stuff now. At this point, he probably has something special to spring on me. But what would it be?
Anya had already killed a Sasquatch and a pack of wild dogs. She dealt with the more maddening aspects of the maze, and yet she still wasn't done. Fairclough wouldn't throw his greatest challenge at her until he was sure she was properly prepared to face it. That meant wearing her down and riling her up with annoyances like hunger, thirst, and exhaustion. Anya was experiencing all of those things, but she was also angry. When Kessel made his move, it caught Green completely by surprise. He jumped and punched his hand into one of the overhead fluorescent lights. Shattered glass rained down on Green's unprotected head. All the way down the hall, bulbs popped. Green looked up in horror. A shard punctured one of his eyeballs. He dropped the pistol and ran past Kessel, vanishing into the darkness. Kessel crouched and waited until the last of the bulbs had exploded. He found Green's pistol. Then he touched the wound on his head and found that it didn't hurt any worse than before he'd made his move. Everything still seemed to be intact. Kessel checked the slide on the pistol. He could tell even in the dark that he was holding a 9mm suppressed Beretta. He popped the clip and checked the spring pressure. The weight of the clip and the resistance when he pressed on the top round told him he had enough rounds to make his point loud and clear. He slid the clip back into the gun, racked the slide, and then put the safety on before adopting a low, ready stance. Then he started off after Green. Kessel followed the sound of Green's whimpering up the corridor. A few more minutes of trailing him, and he had no doubt he'd be able to finish this for good. Green was still scuffling up ahead. He must have known Kessel was tailing him because the whimpers had quieted.
He'll try to get to safety and keep me down here. I'll have to take him before he can reach the exit.
Kessel increased his speed, but not to the detriment of his stealth. As the corridor led him upward, it seemed as if the walls of the tunnel were starting to close in on him. He put out one hand and felt the cool stone. Everything seemed right, and he could still hear Green up ahead.
Is he crying now? So much for false bravado.
And then Kessel picked up speed and drew closer to Green. Only a matter of 12 feet separated them now. Green must have known he was there.
Kessel?
Kessel drew close enough to reach out and touch Green.
I know you're there, Kessel.
Kessel touched Green on his head. Green fell back away from him.
Perfect, I can take him now.
Kessel froze. Then he brought the pistol up, flicking the safety off. But the gun was knocked away. The bullet ricocheted off the wall before splintering away. And the only thing Kessel heard next was Green's voice very close to his ear.
Gotcha.
Anya heard a noise through the vent. It sounded like a single pistol shot that had been suppressed by a silencer.
Is that Kessel? Did he find a way to get to Fairclough? Has he found out where Green is?
Anya bent close to the vent and strained to hear anything else.
Are you having fun, Fairclough? Are you enjoying this little game?
I'm having a very enjoyable day, Anya Creed. Although I must say, you are probably not enjoying yourself at all, are you?
I've had better days. Why don't you come down here and we'll talk about it?
Oh, I shall. Very soon, in fact. But I'm afraid I've got a few more things to tend to first. In the meantime, I don't want you to get bored, so I've lined up a little distraction for you.
The walls started to close in on her. Anya vaulted back toward the doorway. She threw herself out of the room into the hallway.
Nice work, Anya. It always helps when people do exactly what you expect them to do. It makes life so much easier.
What's this all about, Fairclough? Why the hell are you doing this to me?
Not yet. It's more fun to keep you guessing. More hellish that way, don't you think?
Nothing compared to what's going to happen to you once I get out of here.
Oh, you're an optimist, of course. I respect that. However, I think you'll have to eventually admit that you're going to die here, Anya. And you're going to die alone, where no one will ever find you again. You'll fade from memory, and no one will know how you came to die.
In that case, I'll make sure I claw my way back from the grave and drag you down to hell with me, you bastard.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sure you will. In the meantime, you've got other things to concern yourself with, my dear. We've been a little lax in feeding them, I'm afraid. I'd be willing to bet they'll eat pretty much anything right now.
Kessel came awake, blinking under a brilliant white light. He winced and then noticed that he couldn't move his arms or legs. He was strapped into what looked like a dentist's chair. He tried to flex against the leather wrist straps, but they were buckled tight.
Not again.
A rolling cart stood near the chair. It held a series of tools laid out carefully on a sterilized tray. There were small saws, picks, and several oddly shaped implements. Kessel cringed at what they might be used for. The door opened and Green walked in. A white bandage covered one of his eyes.
So he did take some glass after all.
Enjoying the fact that you put glass in my eye, you son of a bitch?
Definitely. It's nice to see a little justice dispensed in your direction.
Spare me this sermon, you mindless government tool. He'll never understand what I'm trying to achieve.
You mean killing innocent people? Terrorism? You deserve to die for that.
Doesn't that run a little against your law enforcement code? I can't imagine your superiors would be thrilled knowing you'd just as soon shoot me as bring me in for the justice system to throw around between shrinks and prisons.
At this point, I'm more than willing to forsake my career to make sure you don't ever get a chance to hurt anyone else. You say you're all about saving the planet, but you're not about peace. You're as dangerous as any suicide bomber.
Wow, you know, that's really fascinating. I so enjoy listening to you condemn me for killing people when you're so proud of the kills you make in the name of exploitation. It's so ironic. One man's enemy is another man's hero, after all.
I think you're mixing up your metaphors, but it doesn't matter. None of this does. You can do whatever you want, just know this. When I get out of here, I'm coming for you.
Your threats are tiresome. Now, I suppose I ought to bring in the good doctor and let him check you over. Make sure you're okay and whatnot.
Which doctor would that be? Not that quack Jonas. I'd rather take my chances with infection.
Now, really, is that any way to treat a medical professional?
Green opened the door, and Jonas walked in, wearing scrubs. He smiled at Kessel.
So nice to see you again. You've been keeping me busy today. I really had to do a number on Green's eye there when he stumbled in. Fluorescent light bulb glass is fragile stuff. I'm hopeful we got all of it out, but you never can tell. And, of course, that's made Green rather unhappy with you.
Fuck him. And you too.
I always enjoy a lively one when I'm working. Makes for such a thrill when I start probing.
Don't even think about it.
But you see, Kessel, your role in this is much greater than you imagine. And it's so convenient to have someone like you here to fulfill his mission. After all, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Leave no man behind and all that jazz.
What are you talking about?
I can't wait to see you squirm when the good doctor here starts sticking things in your head.
Jonas moved around behind Kessel, picking up some of the tools on the tray at his side.
First things first, I need to make sure that hole in your skull is okay. I mean, what use would you be if we didn't square that away? We can't have you dropping dead from infection or a quick blow to the skull. Not when you've got so much to do.
Jonas's face appeared in front of Kessel. He held a small implement that reminded Kessel of a handheld drill.
I'll make the opening a bit larger so I can smooth the ragged edges.
Awesome. I've never seen anyone get their skull drilled. This should be interesting.
I'm afraid we're a little short on painkillers and anesthesia around here, so you're gonna feel what's about to occur. At least, until you pass out from the pain.
Where's Fairclough?
Setting the stage for your friend Anya, I'd imagine. Lots to do, you know.
This is just standard practice, of course. I mean, it really doesn't matter how calm you are now. Once I start drilling into your head, your blood pressure's gonna go through the roof anyway.
Jonas started pumping up the blood pressure cuff.
Just so you know, I will find a way to kill you. It doesn't matter what you do to me. I won't stop until I break your pencil neck with my bare hands and watch the life leave your pathetic body.
I think you'll find that a difficult promise to fulfill once I complete my work.
Why? I promise to make time for you once I kill Green over there.
Such a shame to have to do this to you. I actually like you a lot better now that you're talking.
Are we ready to start?
Yes, we are.
Jonas moved behind Kessel. There were almost too many of them. Just when Anya hoped she had fought the dogs to a standoff, one of them would get brave or desperate and attack. That was number four. The ruined bodies were piled in front of her, and the floor was starting to get slick from the blood. The rest of them cowered and glanced at her sideways, but she knew the submissive stance was temporary. One dog started trying to slink around her. Yeah! Anya jabbed at the dog with the sword, and he retreated back to the pack. If she had to guard her front and rear, she'd be dog food in no time.
I can't keep this up.
At least eight starving, slavering Dobermans blocked the way ahead. As usual, she couldn't go back the way she came. The room she had left had no other exit. Besides, the walls of the room had slid in and met in the middle like a trash compactor. One of the braver dogs took a sudden interest in the bodies of his lately departed brethren. He crept cautiously forward and licked at a puddle of blood on the floor.
Ew. Survival of the fittest and all that.
But more of the dogs were sniffing the air and eyeing the corpses hungrily. Anya began to see a way out of this latest mess. Anya vaulted the dead dogs and charged into the middle of the pack. The startled dogs tried to scatter in the narrow hallway. She whirled like a dervish, slashing and poking with the sword, moving further up the hallway. Finally, she managed to get her back against one wall. As she had hoped, only some of the dogs had fled up the hallway, while the others slipped past her in the other direction. The four who had gone up the hall milled uncertainly, reluctant to get too close to her.
Well, what are you waiting for? Chow time! Go on!
Anya gestured toward the rest of the pack, who were snarling and snapping over the remains. The four obediently streaked past her. Anya slumped against the wall for a moment, even too exhausted and numb to be appalled at the sounds of canine carnage in the distance.
At this point, Pooches, I think I know just how you feel.
Anya peeled herself off the wall and forged ahead up the corridor. Several hundred yards from where Anya squatted in the tunnel, Green and Jonas entered the maze's real control room, followed by the hulking form of the man called Kessel. At a bank of computers and video screens, Fairclough turned when they entered.
Is he ready?
It's untested. We ought to have done an early experiment prior to using this one.
Well, there was no time. This hinged on finding someone she'd form a relationship with who I could then use to destroy her.
Why don't you just let us kill her and be done with it? Hell of a lot faster that way.
You don't have the capacity to appreciate what it is I'm doing here, so do me a favor and please shut your mouth unless I directly ask you for your input, all right?
Well, Jonas, I guess he knows best.
I do know best. Your organization benefits because of me. Without my money, you'd just be a bunch of hoodlums with no means to ever support your cause.
We were doing pretty well before you came along.
You're joking, right? That protest you staged at the G8 summit, that was pathetic. You had no vision until you met me and learned what you could be with the right resources.
But if that's true, then why are we wasting time on this diversion? Shouldn't we be out fulfilling the grand plan?
Fairclough pointed at a video screen that revealed Anya through night vision.
What we ought to be doing is right here, right now. What we ought to be doing is destroying the woman who caused me heartache. Once we've finished with her, then we can continue our environmental work. But until she is rendered impotent, she will still be a threat to us.
She didn't seem like much of a threat yesterday when we picked her up.
That's because you took advantage of her huge sense of compassion. You're no match for her physically. None of us are.
So, again, why not just shoot her?
I don't think she can be killed that way.
You think she's immortal?
I think she's remarkably strong. And that strength comes not just from a physical place, but also from a spiritual place. And that means she's that much harder to kill.
Never met anyone who couldn't be taken down with a dozen bullets in their skull. Why don't you let us try it and find out?
No! The stage has been set for Anya Creed's demise, and I shall now enjoy putting it into motion at long last.
What did this chick do to you anyway? She steal your Bible and kick your dog.
It's not for you to understand. All I ask is for you to carry out your role.
Fair enough. Tell us when and we'll be there.
Give me about 20 minutes, and then release that thing into the maze.
Let's go.
Fairclough watched them leave the control room and then turned back to the video screen.
Idiots! They'll never understand how great the thrill of vengeance is. She must be made to understand that her actions resulted in these consequences. Surely Anya Creed is close to realizing that. And if she isn't, then in a few short minutes, I'll gladly tell her. Right before I watch her die.
Anya huddled in the corridor, alert for any change in her environment. The darkness had lightened somewhat, and she could make out vague shapes in the distance.
Are you watching me right now, Fairclough, you bastard? This has to end. And not the way you want it to. The way I decide.
She got to her feet and looked back down the corridor toward the slide that had ejected her into this portion of the maze.
Of course. That's it.
Then Anya Creed did something unexpected for the first time since entering the maze. Fairclough saw Anya heading back down the corridor.
What is she doing? She has nowhere to go. Perhaps she's so desperate to find a way out that she's going back to the slide to see if she can get out that way.
Fairclough smirked. That was a dead end. The slide had been coated with an advanced Teflon polymer that made climbing it impossible. It defied friction. Still, Fairclough watched as she made her way to the slide. She ran her hands on the surface and realized that climbing it was impossible. But she didn't seem upset. Instead, to Fairclough's horror, she stabbed her sword into the slide. She used it to pull herself up. Fairclough jabbed the radio that connected him with Green and Jonas.
Release him!
Are you sure?
Damn it! Just do it! Release him now!
Okay.
Fairclough leaned closer to the screens. If she got too much of a head start, Kessel would never reach her in time, and that wouldn't be good at all.
I'm getting tired of this old clown.
So what do you want to do? Kill him and be done with it? We'd lose out on all his money, and then we'd be back to spraying graffiti instead of making an impact.
There are lots of people out there with a ton of money they wouldn't mind spending on a couple of guys like us. Guys with a plan.
Yeah, but would they buy into our goals?
Jonas turned Kessel around and faced him toward a doorway.
He's ready.
You're probably right. But I don't like how he talks to us as if we don't know anything. He came to us, remember?
Come on, let's do this.
Green jabbed the door release. As it slid open, Jonas reached up to the back of Kessel's head and pushed a small button attached to a transmitter at the base of his brain. As it blinked, Kessel shifted. Then he lumbered forward into the maze.
Anya! Meet Fairclough's monster!
Then he closed the door behind Kessel. Anya stabbed her sword into the slide again and again, slowly making her way higher up the slide. The coating on the slide was almost impossible to get purchase on, but by using her sword and bracing herself on the sides, she could eke out small distances. Beneath her, Anya heard a noise like a door opening.
So what will Fairclough throw at me now? And what about Kessel? Is he still out there ready to swoop in and save me? Or is he dead already?
Better not to focus on what might be. Better to focus on what she was sure of. And Anya was sure Fairclough hadn't expected her to do this.
It's done.
Excellent. Then all that remains is for the man to carry out his programmed orders and destroy Anya. Does the transmitter work?
Checked it myself. Light came on and started blinking. That means it's good to go.
Excellent. In that case, let's activate his orders.
Fairclough leaned forward, pressed another button on the console, and spoke into the microphone.
Kill the woman known as Anya Creed. Reply if you understand your directives.
I understand.
This is what I've been waiting for, to witness her destruction.
Fairclough pointed at the screen.
There he is.
You've no doubt ascertained that I would be sending something special at you before this was all over. I've had plenty of time to study you, including that magnificent sword in your possession, and try to determine your weak point, if any. And what I came up with was interesting. You're very much your own woman. You like doing what you do, even though you're lonely.
Great. You're the embodiment of every pushy mother out there. You'll be asking for grandkids next.
Your strength is obviously your greatest asset. Your reflexes are without peer, and your cunning is something to be admired as well. You are most vulnerable when your friends are at risk.
Anya turned, pried out her sword, and then stabbed it in farther up. Then she wedged her feet on the sides and maneuvered herself higher.
So, of course, I needed to find a friend I could exploit.
Exploit? What the hell does that mean?
Anya wedged herself against the sides of the slide and eked her way higher.
What's down there?
A shadow below the slide shifted, and Anya saw new movement as a man stepped out into the dim light.
Imagine my delight when I noticed that you were actually developing a bond with your fellow maze traveler. It was almost too much to hope for, and yet here it was, happening right in front of my eyes.
Castle?
Well, it was Castle. I'm afraid we had to do a bit of work on him to ensure that he'd be more, shall we say, compliant.
Anya felt something brush against the slide, sending vibrations up and into her body. She tensed, holding on to the sword.
Castle?
I wouldn't expect him to respond the way he might once have. Jonas has made a few alterations to his personality.
In the dim light, she saw something blinking. Red.
What the hell is that?
And now I think it's time for a demonstration. Kessel, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Anya is on the slide to your right. Destroy the slide, and when she falls to the floor, kill her.
I hear and comply.
The slide shuddered as Kessel crashed into it below. Anya gripped her sword and pressed her feet into the sides. Falling would be a death sentence for her, and she didn't want to have to kill Kessel. There might be a way to help him.
What do you think, Anya? Is this the way you thought you would someday be killed? At the hands of someone you might have grown to love in time?
Then she saw Kessel move away.
Has he injured himself?
That might buy her some time. Anya turned her attention back to climbing. She pulled the sword out, plunged it in higher, then brought her feet up. Anya froze.
Crap, something's coming apart.
Anya would have to work doubly fast now. She watched as Kessel bounced off the slide again. She immediately climbed toward the next section, which wouldn't be affected by Kessel's demolishing the lower part. Anya glanced up. 15 feet. It might as well have been 3 miles. But she kept climbing. And each time Kessel slammed the slide, she felt it give a little bit more. Anya glanced down at the flickering red light. Kessel was probably receiving his commands through some sort of transmitter.
You won't escape, Anya. I've got contingency plans in place.
Kessel attacked the slide again. Pieces of the slide started to come away from the wall. 10 feet.
You're a stubborn woman, Anya. You're forcing me to take drastic measures.
Somewhere high above her, she heard something, but couldn't quite place the sound. By the time Anya realized what it was almost too late. She barely had time to duck her head as she held on for dear life. A torrent of water crashed down on her. If she'd had her face up, it would have dislodged her, but her instincts had saved her once again. Kessel didn't sound so lucky. That would buy her some time. Anya shook her head like a dog and then continued her climb. She had to reach the next section.
Go faster, Kessel!
Fairclough's command had an immediate effect. Kessel drove himself into the slide over and over again. Anya had to cling to the slide while he did that, hoping that she could hold on. Finally, Kessel had to take a break or risk injuring himself too much. Anya knew Fairclough wanted Kessel and Anya to square off in combat, so that meant he couldn't waste Kessel. Anya started climbing again. She got to 8 feet.
You're starting to try my patience, Anya.
6 feet remained between her and the second section of the slide. Kessel crashed into the slide below, and Anya nearly lost her grip on her sword. Anya risked a glance up before ducking her head back down. Stones rained down on her. She set her jaw and clenched her teeth as her head took the brunt of rocks and sand.
Did you enjoy that, Anya?
Anya yanked the sword out and plunged it in higher. and then she wedged her feet, repeating the process once more. Anya swung herself onto the next section of the slide, just as Kessel tore the lower portion free from the wall. Anya glanced down at the slide as it swung free. If she'd still been on that section of the slide, she would have fallen. But the slide was still connected to where Anya sat, and she could still feel Kessel's attacks.
I've got just the answer.
With the sword, Anya hacked the lower part away. It swung clear and hurtled toward Kessel. Anya watched it crumple as it fell. For the moment, she was safe.
Where the hell did she go?
Maybe she fell with the wreckage of the slide.
No, I would have seen her fall. How is it she was able to hang on to something? How did she not fall?
How would I know? You're the one that's devoted so much time to studying her. Is she capable of defying gravity with that sword of hers?
Don't mock me, Green. You don't know anything about that accursed blade. You have no idea the horrible thing she's done with it.
You're right, I don't. But she's out there somewhere because she didn't fall, and Kessel wasn't able to knock her down. That means she's presumably farther up the slide than you thought. Can she get out of there if she climbs high enough?
It's possible, I suppose. Take Kessel up to the third level entry point. You'll find an access hatch that leads to the slide. If you hurry, you can set up an ambush that she won't see coming.
Is Kessel still where you left him?
Yes! Use the secret door in this wall here. Follow the corridor back from where you initially put him into the maze, and you'll see a light. There's a door release hidden behind it.
All right.
Kozumi! Can you hear me?
I am here.
The girl has eluded my attempts to kill her.
You should have let me do it when I had the chance.
Yes, well, you're now authorized to kill her if you find her wandering the maze. Understand?
I understand.
I'd prefer if you did it in front of the cameras, but if that can't be managed, then kill her and be done with it.
Very well.
Green and Jonas opened the secret door and waited. After a moment, they saw Kessel standing there, eyes unfocused, ready to accept any order they gave him.
Come with us.
Kessel shifted and then lumbered over to them.
You did a pretty amazing job rendering him obedient.
The cerebral cortex, and he was already suffering from a traumatic brain injury, so that made things a little easier.
Kessel appeared in the doorway, blocking most of the dim light behind him. Green looked over his shoulder and saw the remains of the lower portion of the slide. It looked as if someone had cut a part of the metal, and he could also see where Anya had been stabbing her blade into the slide itself. Green shook his head.
Enemy or not, that's an impressive woman. I don't know many people who could climb a slide without falling.
I wouldn't want to face her, that's for sure.
With luck, we won't have to. Our big monster here will do the dirty work for us.
Okay, monster, let's go.
Thirty feet above, Anya crouched on the edge of the second portion of the slide. She'd heard every word they'd said.
So Kessel is gone. And now I'm free to ruin Fairclough's plans for my death.
Anya looked at the floor far below.
30 feet is a long way to drop.
Add to that the fact that the floor was littered with scrap metal. She needed another way down. Green walked Kessel down the corridor while Jonas brought up the rear.
You ever wonder what drives that old coot up there?
We've got our agenda and he's got his. For right now, this meeting of the minds works. We both get to fulfill our goals.
Yeah, but what if there comes a point when we don't see eye to eye? What then?
We could always kill him.
Before we do that, we need him to sign over his assets to us. That way we could still have the funding to carry out our plans for protecting our world.
It shouldn't be difficult. After all, he is a weak old man. What could he possibly do to us?
I don't know. I wouldn't underestimate him, though. He didn't get to be old by being stupid. He's been living this role as an antique book dealer for years, apparently, and no one ever caught on. That's got to count for something, right?
Only if you let it. My opinion, we get his cash and then dump his body somewhere. No sense keeping him around.
We could even use our monster here to force him to sign.
That's almost poetic justice.